And I want to go on a walk. How many go on walks? You know, we've talked about it. It's kind of funny. You can go on a walk on a treadmill and go nowhere, you know. So there's different kinds of walks and stuff. But I just wanted to look at what happens when you begin to walk is you have a continual input of sensors that are telling you things. Your eyes are telling you things. Your toes are telling you things. Your balance, your ears. Your ears are hooked into how you're able to walk. And you need strength for it, right? There's a lot of things going on for you to actually be able to walk. And so we looked at this scripture. And so I don't know if you guys got your phones or whatever, but we have some notes here. You're welcome to follow along. We have a church app that you can download real quick if you'd like. If you tap on there, the bottom of there, there's a link. You can load our church app real quick. I've got some... I was thinking about it this way. How many have been observing some of the stuff going on in the world right now? So technology has changed completely with the military, hasn't it? To where, we don't even have to invade. We can just shoot stuff over there. You can just launch... you know, projectiles and rockets and all kinds of stuff, and targets are taken. Isn't that amazing how there can be like a truck sitting there on the road, and they can knock it out and watch it being knocked out, and it doesn't take out the whole neighborhood around it. It's pretty strategic, you know. It's pretty amazing what it's doing. But how many know that at some point in this altercation, somebody's going to have to occupy the place, whether it's the local people. For a victory to actually occur, you can't just have enough power. You cannot just use some of that power. You actually have to set your foot on the enemy's land, okay? So this is where we're going to go today, and this is going to be the final of a series that we've been going on about walking, because Jesus wants us to go on a walk with him. And we've looked at this already. We've said, you know, when we to even begin to do this, you have to walk in the Spirit. You can't. It's not going to be something that you can relate to. And so we kind of try to relate to it somewhat, but it's going to be something that's in the Spirit, where we are continually taking input from the Spirit to be able to walk in this way. And then to be able to walk in the Spirit, you have to walk by faith, don't you? And what we saw with that is you're going to go into a realm that you've not seen before. How many know that if you know where you're going, it's really not, doesn't take any faith. You have to go into the unknown. And that's where it gets exciting, because what are you doing? You're just going by, you're being obedient to what God says, right? And then we saw last week that you got to walk in love, right? That's like wherever you're going, you're looking to lay your life down. That's Ricardo. That's what Jesus calls us to do. Amen? So what's happening in all this? We're learning how to actually walk in the way that Jesus has presented for us. How many know that when Jesus rose from the grave, he made all of us victorious with him? Amen? His purpose of rising from the grave wasn't just to get a bunch of accolades. It was to take us with him. On what? A walk. Is that right? To go for a walk with Jesus. That's why he rose from the grave. He says, we've been raised together with him. For what reason? To go on a walk, right? Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, what is the reason for it? We also should walk. So, that's why we're wanting to find out what walking looks like. It's going to be in the Spirit. It can't be something that the world's telling us to do. Amen? It's going to come from what God has told us so that we can walk by faith. We're not walking by our own reasoning. Amen? And then the whole purpose of that is so that we can lay our lives down for somebody else. The motive and the direction has to be right. Why are we doing this? It's for love. Amen? And then for that to be effective, we're going to see a part of this today that's going to be kind of fun, okay? We get to walk on our enemies. We get to occupy that space. We've been given all this power in the blood of Jesus, but what is it for? It doesn't do any good until you actually step on your enemy a little bit, okay? So I was thinking about this, and I don't know if y'all can help me or not, but I don't know lyrics to words or to songs. Sheesh. Especially to my own songs. I forget them pretty easily. So there's this song that I always liked, and I never knew what it was saying. But anybody? Oh, you guys went to a hockey game. Is that right? Anybody? Is that your first hockey game? Those are fun, aren't they? Especially, they're a lot more fun when you go to them. I actually went to Buddy. Went with Buddy. Tulsa had a, what was the Oilers, I think? Yeah, way back. And man, Buddy would be hoarse when we got done. He knew how to praise the Oilers. the name of the Oilers he liked to praise very much. But there's a chant that they do that I thought was interesting with this, because I think maybe we can get in the flow here a little bit. Maybe you can help me with it. But it's this... our floor is concrete, so it's not quite as much fun. It's more like when you're on the bleachers and you really make... What? Yeah, I don't know, you know, but you can help me make some... Can we all do it together a little bit? Can we do that? All right, yeah? All right. All right. I need a leader. Hunter, come here. Do you know the lyrics? We know how... Drink to this grace. We will rock you. We will rock you. Okay, so I thought, you know what? I'm gonna go find out what these lyrics are, because it starts off talking to a little boy. Anybody aware of this? So there's actually like three different verses in this, and it's talking to a little boy, and it's saying, you got mud on your face, you're disgraced, and you're not going to be able to make it, but we're going to rock you anyway, because it's not the way I look. It's the defiance of what the world says. I'm going to win anyway, right? It's going to be kind of cool, because we can relate to this a little bit this morning. And it's cool because it goes through the three different phases of life. The little boy... And then the young man, he's got blood on his face because he's actually having to fight, you know. And then the old man, because he's going into a phase of, you know, discouragement or ineffectiveness or whatever, and it's still got that, we're going to rock you. I kind of like that, you know. And I'm trying to get my own perspective of what that actually means. But for today, what I'm seeing is, you know what? We got some opposition as soon as we rise with Christ. We have some opposition. And if you're going to go on a walk with God, you cannot go on a walk with God without stepping on the enemy. Yeah. Amen? Because what he wants to do is say, you're not the one that can do it. You're unable for one reason or another. You're too young, you're too middle-aged, you're too old. You're not right for this. And what is that? That's a lie from the enemy, isn't it? Yeah. And you got to do what? You got to stomp on him. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You're going to have to do it, because if you don't, there's a promise waiting that God has already brought for you. It's new life in Christ. Yeah. Amen? That requires you not sitting back and being timid, but taking territory. Amen? So, let's look at this. Psalm 91. I got through a few verses here we're going to go through. Instead of being hindered, you will step upon. Don't you like some of this stuff that we got from David? How many know that David lived this stuff? Amen? There's a giant out there on the field. And you know what he did? He stomped on the giant before he even threw the stone. Amen? And this is where our fight has to be. The stomping is in our mouths. We step with our mouths. Amen? But I love this because David gave us, he prophesied this over us today. He said, God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. I like the idea of that. And then he says, if you walk into a trap, how many have kind of walked into something before you realized you got there? Right? They'll be there for you and keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed where? Among the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them where? Beneath your feet. This is kind of a testimony for him, don't you know? Said, you know what? And this is why he could say, enemy's coming up on every side of me. Well, there's one thing I'm going to focus on right now, and what is it? My presence of God. Because it doesn't matter what I have in my hand. It doesn't matter if I have chariots and horses. I better be winning in the Spirit. Amen? He knew about walking in the Spirit way back then. Man, we have Jesus on the inside now, don't we? Praise God. Let's look at Genesis 50. How many know that Joseph had some opposition? Joseph had some things he had to walk out that were not fun at all, were they? His brother's trying to destroy him. He had a word from God. He had a vision from God. And we could say, well, that's not fair. I never had a vision like that. But you know what? We have the word of God that's telling us a promise now, don't we? We can walk in that. But what he had a lot of opposition, didn't he? He's got it going, kind of. And he gets thrown out of, you know, accused of adultery and all kinds of stuff and goes into prison. The guy gets out of prison, doesn't even tell the guy about him. But what ends up happening? There's a lot of things he had to walk through, and he stomped on all of them by being faithful to what God gave him to do. Amen? And so that when his brothers show up, and this is kind of famous, we got songs about this now. What the enemy meant for evil, what is it? God uses it for good. And this is kind of where I want to go. I want the vision of this to go, is that there's some things before us that look like they're inhibiting. God doesn't want to just move stuff out of our way. He wants us to stomp on them. Because there's a place we're going to go in him that requires stepping on them. Not going around them, not staying back and wishing you didn't have to. But there's a place of ascension in God that requires stepping on. Amen? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this place so I could save the lives of so many. There's a place that God's wanting to take us that's going to require stepping on some stuff. Recognizing what it is. And not letting it become opposition at all, because we step on it. We're going to see how to do it. Amen? All right. So Israel had the ability, but it wasn't until they tread that they obtained. There's some promises in God. It's not just confessing stuff. You got to actually tread. You got to say, you know what? I'm not holding back. I'm not waiting for God. How many would just love to see God just move? And we sing about songs like, God move, God move. God's saying, I need you to move because it's under your feet that my movement is taking place. Amen? So, Joshua, this is a wonderful thing. What had happened? Man, they'd been in the wilderness for 40 years with what? A promise the whole time. And what else? The power to go in all along, didn't they? And you know what was really amazing? In the wilderness, they actually defeated a lot of enemies, didn't they? But it wasn't the promise yet, was it? It's because they were defeating enemies, but they weren't occupying. It's not enough to just defeat some enemies. It's not enough to just get healed. I'll just say it this way. It's not enough to just get a need met. You got to occupy. Amen? Yeah. Moses, my servant, is dead, so Moses had to get out of the way. No, but he kind of did, right? In a sense. Because at this point, Joshua, who was Joshua? He was somebody that for 40 years never stopped being faithful to what God said. Yeah. Amen? What was he doing? When they went into the promised land, well, he was already walking in faith. What was he saying? The unknown. I don't know how God's going to do it. He just said he's going to. And so because of that, I'm willing to go. And in fact, I'm going to walk for 40 years with a bunch of numbskulls until they all pass away so I can finally go. Amen? Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. What was it about the Jordan River for 40 years? It was always there to be crossed. Amen? And the promise never came to them until they crossed it. Amen? I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set, wherever you do what? Set your foot. That means there's going to be an occupying, a going somewhere. Amen? You will be on land I have given you. Huh. Kind of makes you want to walk a lot, doesn't it? It's like, I got my eye on some places I want to go walking in this area. God's fixing to do some things. Amen? And he says, where you put your foot in faith, what's underneath that foot becomes yours. Amen? From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. I don't know anything about that. I'm sorry I didn't study it like I should have. But what I'm hearing is, if you can see it, and you don't just see it, but you step into it. Amen? Praise God. He's going to show us some stuff. But knowledge doesn't occupy. Action occupies. Amen? Praise God. So what does treading on our enemies look like in Christ? You know, that was some real stuff. But what does it look like in Christ? Let's look at Luke 10:18. So what happened in the context of this? Jesus had sent some people out and had given them authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to do a bunch of stuff, right? And so they come back and they're all excited. Wouldn't this be cool? All right, I'm sending you out into your neighborhood. Everybody you lay your hands on is going to be healed. And you do it and it's like it happens. Whoa, would that be, you know what? It wasn't just to them, was it? Man, this is what we have too. So anyway, they come back. And they're saying, wow, look, we did all these things. And Jesus replied, said, while you were ministering, this is really cool, and this is a good visual for us. He said, I saw Satan topple until he fell suddenly from heaven like lightning to the ground. Now, I thought about this in the past, that he was talking about like way back when sometime, that he actually saw Satan. No, he said, while you were doing that, Satan was coming down below you. Amen? He was tumbling to the ground while you were ministering, while you were setting your foot out there. There was an activation of power that brought Satan down below your feet. We're wanting God to show up and deliver us from something. And he says, I've already delivered you. Just step into it. Amen. Now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority to trample. To do what? What's the authority for if you don't do anything with it? If you don't go anywhere with it. Is that right? Trample over his kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Don't you like this? There aren't some that are just too big. Every single one of them has a place for you to put your foot, right? Yeah. Amen? Absolutely nothing. Don't you like this? There's nothing left out of this. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you do what? Sit on the couch and watch really good teaching. Come on. As you walk, amen? Yeah. In this authority. However, your real source of joy is it merely that these spirits submit to your authority? And here is the key. Here is the key. It wouldn't do any good for our soldiers to defeat from the air and decide to go in, boots on the ground, and just say, okay, we're coming in as pacifists now. We're going to walk. We're going to go ahead and occupy the country, but we don't have any weapons in our... I know, that just really sounds stupid. It's like, no, to effectively occupy, to effectively step on your enemy, you better have some weapons in your hands. Amen? The devil isn't afraid of our feet. He's afraid of our weapons. Amen? As long as our feet are carrying weapons with them, then he's coming down. We're bringing him down. Amen? But here's the key. How your real source of joy, because this sounds pretty big time stuff, stepping on our enemy or all this kind of stuff. And God's saying, you know what? That's not, if you focus on this, if you focus on your enemy, because remember, they came back and they had somebody that they couldn't cast out the devil, right? That little boy. He was throwing himself in the fire. He was doing all kinds of other stuff, right? And what was happening? Their focus came back on themselves, like it was them.
Right.
And they just put down their weapons. They were trying to tread somewhere that they weren't equipped to tread. Because your power isn't in yourself. It isn't even what you're saying itself. It's who you're saying it with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Your real source of joy, then. This is why it's so important to really get a wonderful relationship with Jesus. Where, he's living and moving and having, or you're living and moving and having your being in him. Yeah. And we'll see this, okay? Your real source of joy isn't really that these spirits submit to your authority, but that your names are written in the journals of heaven and that you belong to God's kingdom. This is the true source of your authority. Huh. Okay, let's keep going. Are y'all good? All right. So with changes tentative, tiptoeing, what's that? I hope the enemy doesn't see me. Hope I can get through this and not have any altercations with that terrible creature. No, into bold treading. There we go, okay. And you might have some blood on your face, you might have some mud on your face, you might have some other stuff going on, but you are with, amen? We've been made to be with him in heavenly realms. And this is really cool. So there's two references to this in Ephesians that I want to look at. So what are we doing? How can we go on this walk? Not just because we're here, we're supposed to. We start looking around for an enemy. No, we get revelation of who we're with. Amen? How do we do this? By who we're with. Amen? Ephesians 2:6. For he raised us up from the dead along with Christ. So when we came up out of the grave to go for a walk, he set us in a place that is a heavenly place. Our walk is in a heavenly place, amen? From the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united, what? With Christ, amen? So, This is critical because the first chapter tells you where Jesus was raised to. This is saying, we've been raised with him. Amen? Now let's look at this next one. It says, so those realms are under our feet through our union. So if we're with him there, then everything that's under his feet is where? It's under our feet. Amen? That's kind of like David. When he's looking at a giant and what he's saying, you're just an uncircumcised Philistine. You're looking at a little boy thinking I'm incapable. But I have a covenant with Almighty God. Amen? What's he doing? He's bringing up the revelation of who he's with. Amen? And if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen? So he's talking about where Jesus is. It's far, far above any other king or ruler or dictator or leader. Don't you like this? Everything. Yes, his honor is far more glorious than that of anyone else, either in this world or in the world to come. And God has put all things where? Under his feet. And because we read the second chapter, that means they're under our feet too. Amen? And made him the supreme head of the church, which is his body, filled with himself, the author and the giver of everything everywhere. Yeah. That sounds like some pretty complete dominance. Yeah. So I heard something. I was listening to one of these reports of our air dominance in Iran right now. And this guy was saying, well, right now we have superior air dominance over Iran. He said, that means it still has an ability to, they can still shoot us a little bit. They still have some things they can fire up at us, some launch things at us. He said, but at some point we're gonna have superior. I thought, that's cool. It's not enough to just have, I mean, supreme. I said that twice, didn't I? I was just checking you, see if you're here listening. Supreme. He said, we're going to have supreme dominance. And that means they have nothing. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So it's not enough to just have some superior stuff and to get a notion of who you are. Man, you get revelation of where you've been seated. And you realize that this is supreme authority. That means everything.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So what would keep you from going for a walk? Amen? And why did he do this? He did this for us. Man, there's no end to the possibilities, are there? All right. So the enemy's territory. So what is the enemy's territory that we're going to occupy? And we're thinking, because this, I don't know about you, but we're hearing kind of some of this stuff, and I'm thinking, so what does this mean? So I'm going to go into my school. I'm going to go into, yeah. But with what? So what is the enemy's territory that we're going to step on? Okay? It's the realm of deceit and deception. Is that right? The only thing, if you can just have the truth, what happens? If you actually walk in the truth, you're free, aren't you? That's why you have to step on top of these things that the enemy's doing. And the only territory he has, the only thing he can do. You know, there's a lot of devastation that comes as a result of this. People living in the darkness, what is that? It's a deception that the world has something to offer that is just as viable as being holy. Is that right? And what ends up happening? Well, people get, their lives are destroyed, aren't they? And, you know, you end up having all kinds of catastrophes taking place, and you can just call it Mother Nature or something. No, it's the result of deceptions. The only thing the enemy has, and why is he flying down? Why is he coming down like a light out of heaven? Because his lies are being brought down. Amen?
Yeah.
His only thing he has, and this is where we have to walk, we have to step on his deception. Amen? That's why I kind of like that song. You're a young boy. You got mud on your face. There's a deception that you can't do it based upon what you look like and your place in life. That's where the enemy wants to always get us, right? He always wants to make it like the rich young ruler. He always wants to make it like, oh, you have to take care of yourself financially. You have to make a way for yourself. And it's going to be just as viable as God. Well, I can, if I can get God to help me out with all that kind of stuff, well, that's a pretty cool thing. No, he says, no, I have to become your life altogether. Because what is that? That's a lie. Until you lose your life, you don't find it in him. Amen? And what's going to be the opposition? Who's occupying that space? When we're living in our life, we're living in the realm of what? The enemy. until you step on that thing with what? The word of God. Amen. The weapons that ensure our walk on the enemy, what are they? And you better get some boots on the ground. When you land in the enemy's territory, you better have some weapons loaded. Amen. Otherwise, he's just going to laugh on you, at you, from his place in the sky that you never brought him down from. Is that right? 2 Corinthians 10:4. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. What is it? That's the enemy's territory, isn't it? Now, I just want to encourage us in this. Because what we get from the Word of God can't be compared to other sources of treatment. There's so many ideas of how to analyze your condition in your life that are coming at us at an endless rate. You can ask, anybody have chat on your device right now? You can ask chat for any kind of counsel on anything right now. All right. Am I talking your language? I'll just confess, I'm talking mine a little bit because I can fix my car. I can do all kinds of stuff, you know. But when it comes to your life, to consider any other voice as being something that is supplemental to God is dangerous.
That's right.
Is that right? Because the weapons of our war, not that there aren't other things that are okay, but when you get into the enemy's territory, you can't be coming up with Freud as your answer. You know what I mean? You better have, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, at the end of his fast, what did he do? He wasn't even saying what he thought. Because he could have come up with some thoughts. And he's the Son of God. You think, well, at least the Son of God should be able to tell us something. You know, he said, no, I say it is written. Because if you have anything else to say, you've just laid down your weapon.
That's right.
And you cannot occupy the enemy's territory without weapons. Amen? And he's just going to have his way. Stepping is enabled by the authority of the word. Okay, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is what? It's alive and powerful. And here's part of the deception right off the bat, that it's old and decrepit. Especially if you've grown up in the church. How many have heard some of this already? Yeah. Part of the deception is it's really not all that. He says, no, it's alive. It's powerful. Amen? It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. Talking about weapons here, right? It's more powerful than the greatest nuclear weapon. We got to relate to this somehow, right? Cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Here's the thing. If you're just cruising along trying to go for a walk and you're not even inputting the Word of God, you have thoughts that are very dangerous thoughts. That you won't even know they're dangerous without the word. Amen? That's what he's saying, isn't it? It's powerful, first of all, to reveal what's going on in you. Amen? Again, our biggest challenge is our self-identity. What about me? Right? What does the Word of God come along to say? Something about us. Is that right? I'm saying you can do all things through Christ. Well, huh. I've got some other thoughts going on. Well, let's expose those thoughts. Start stepping on them. Amen? What can you step on them with? You have to step on them with the Word. Amen? All right. When treading in holiness, steps are God-empowered. So here's what happens. As soon as we start doing this, this is what's really amazing. Is that you start utilizing your weapons about who you are, about your life, your country. I mean, you can apply this in so many different ways. Amen? As soon as you do that, it's not just you stepping anymore. As soon as you begin to apply the word of God, its power becomes something that you're wielding. And God takes over to effect something that you could never do on your own. But everyone knows that you are obedient to the Lord. This makes me very happy. I want to be wise in doing right and to stay innocent of any wrong. The God of peace will soon do what? Crush. Don't you like this? That in my stepping is God's crushing. Amen? But where's it coming from? This 19th verse kind of gives us a clue. Because for Jesus' words to be effective for us, they have to abide in us first. Amen? He says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then what you declare becomes an occupation of the enemy's territory. I'm sorry, I just modified that a little bit, okay? But the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. What does that mean? He's going to take all those things that would cause you discomfort and failure, and he's going to cause them to be peaceful. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be what? With. This with is so important, isn't it? Amen? All right. So, I don't want to be out of faith or anything else, but this is what Jesus said. Y'all are fixing to have some tribulation. Is that right? Have some. I mean, I was talking to Luke this morning. They've been going through some tribulation. Kayla's going to school. They got a new little child. Man, they're trying to make it. You know what? That's opposition. I know that's good opposition and everything else. There can be other things. But to go through life with victory, to be more than an overcomer in Christ, means that we're going to have some opposition. Amen? And rather than allowing what the enemy wants to make us look like in the mirror, what we've gone through, what somebody else has said about us, to be our agree with that, as soon as we agree with that, we're under his rule. Amen? But we can say something about us. As soon as it comes out of our mouth, we're going somewhere. Amen? We're treading somewhere that the enemy doesn't have any say about anymore. Praise God. So, this is one of the precious promises from the word that we can stand upon. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you will have peace. In the world, what? You will have tribulation. What does that mean? There's going to be some territory to take. And this is how I think we need to look at this today. That everything, it's kind of like James said, what are we supposed to do when we're tempted in anything? Count it joy. Why would you count it joy? Because you're fixing to go up. You're fixing to go higher. Amen? But how do you count that joy? You wield your weapon. You're counting it joy because you know that everything he has to throw against you is just a lie. And you're going to bring it down. You're going to take that stronghold down, and you're going to cast it down. Amen? In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome. Amen? So what is the good cheer? And I want us to see this. You know, how many have climbed a mountain before? How many know that there's some steps you have to... there's a whole bunch of them. I climbed Kilimanjaro a while back, and man, that last ascent is like, shoot, it's in the dark for 6 hours, and every step is up, and you can't see, and it's black, and you know, what is it? Every step is like up, if you let it. It can either be a terrible thing, or it can be up. Amen? Yeah. And I think that's what Jesus is saying. He said, you know, there's going to be some tribulation, but I want you to see that every step you take on that tribulation is a step up. Amen? It might not, it's not necessarily going to be fun on your flesh, but it's a step up. Amen? If it's a step in the word of God, praise God. And that thing that the enemy meant for evil actually becomes good. Some of the best things we're going to find in our life are not the avoidance of tribulation. There's not confessions for getting rid of tribulation. There's confessions for going through it. Amen? And we say, whatever you bring, enemy against me, I'm going to step on you. And when I do, I'm going to be looking down on you. Because I've been raised to heavenly places in Christ. And you're beneath my feet right now. Amen? Hallelujah. The greatest things that happen don't look like it at the moment. Jesus in the garden. And he's getting ready to lay down his life, right? And to everybody else, it looked like it was done. But he was going on what his father said. He had a joy that he was setting before him, right? Did you know he was still being tempted all the way? But what did he do? He set a joy before him. What did he do? He ended up stepping on top of the enemy, crushing the enemy. Amen? And he said, man, let's go for a walk. Let's go for this kind of walk. I want you not to just observe what I've done. I want you to do the same thing. The enemy's going to try to make you look like you're defeated. He's going to try to make it look like you can't do something. And praise God, he's overcome. And he's with us. Praise God. Hallelujah.